and you just want to share it, right? Like you just want to. And I know Travis has had me in a couple times to speak to the kids on money and finances and honoring God and, you know, trying to put God first and see how he works things out for us. So anyway, Wednesday night, we were here for Bible study, and Noah and I left, and Noah had to go to the superstore to get ready for the Rooted Christmas dinner. So we got down to the superstore, and I walked in, and I said, "Well, you go get your stuff, and I'll go have a little look around." So anyway, I came down, and we hadn't had oranges for a while, because they just haven't had oranges for a while. They've been probably expensive, and I saw some there, and it was $1.99 for 3 bags of oranges, and I'm thinking, like, wow, that's pretty good, $1.99 for 3 bags of organic oranges. And at the bottom, it said 2,500 points, which means $2.50 off. So I'm thinking, like, I said to Noah, they're going to pay me 51 cents to buy that bag of oranges. I said, can you believe that? Anyway, so I went over to the cash register just not to embarrass myself. And can you imagine if you got there with like 8 bags of oranges and they were charging you $8 a bag, right? You didn't want them then. So I went over, yep, the lady says, you're good. Noah's still going around. So I got a cart and got 12 bags of oranges in there, you know, and picked up a couple of other things that were on special. So I got up there and I put it all through and it was about $65 worth of groceries, okay? And they were $29. And I got $32 in points. So they paid me $2 that night. It's kind of a good story with inflation. Eh? They paid me $2 that night, and I get $65 worth of groceries, right? Only God can do that stuff. Like, I mean, anyway, we're going to look at study in anxiety. I think it's a very appropriate subject. You know, I've struggled with anxiety. I think I've struggled a lot this fall, just coming off another busy summer with anxiety. Anxiety is real, right? It is real. And it's not always as easy as some people want to make it to be relieved of it either. So anyway, this morning I just want to start with just reading what we did last week. We're going to do a very, very brief review, but we just want to start off with Mary and Martha. And we're going to read this passage again in Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Father in heaven, we thank you again that we can be here tonight and that we can enjoy the freedom that we have in this country. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us as we study your word together, that your spirit would, you know each need that is here tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand your word so we could apply your word and that our lives will be changed as we live this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there's a little verse we touched on last week in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. I think the New King James Version says, anxiety in a man's heart brings depression. Anxiety is real. It is challenging. And it does weigh us down. So last week we looked at these 5 points. We didn't do very much on the last one. It said we had Martha welcome Jesus. And what an incredible thing it must have been, right? Like, that Jesus was coming to your house, right, for dinner. Wow. And we went over quite a few things there. Was Martha ready? Did she have any warning? There's a lot of different things. Then we see Mary at Jesus' feet worshiping. She was distracted in a different way. Because she was in the kitchen and she wanted to get to Jesus, right? Jesus was distracting her. That was the top distraction, right? And so Mary just kept going back between the kitchen and Jesus. And then finally, I think she said, that's enough. I'm done in the kitchen and I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. There was Martha working. And remember, Jesus never criticized Martha for working, okay? All right? He did not criticize her for that. And then we had Martha worrying. She was just anxious about a whole bunch of stuff. And life gets like that, right? Stuff of life makes us anxious and burdened. Then we had Martha whining when she tore a strip off Jesus, right? She told him exactly how she felt that day and exactly what he should be doing. And then this last little one, which I hadn't come to just this W last week, but you know, it said that Mary chose, and Jesus said this, you have chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from you. You know what? She made a choice, didn't she? And that's why I put Mary's will. She made a decision. It was her decision to go out and be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted to learn from him. She, don't know if she knew exactly how short a time there was left, right? There was only maybe a few days left before he was going to die. This was really probably her last chance to sit and learn at the feet of Jesus while he was still here on earth. So those are some of the points we touched on last week. And I just kind of wanted to kind of bridge that gap there. It says in William MacDonald's commentary, as quoted by another man, while the master does appreciate all that we undertake for him, he knows our first need is to sit at his feet and learn his will. So our first need, which often is the last thing we do, okay, is that we sit at his feet and learn his will. Then our tasks will be done calmly, peacefully, and kindly. That was an interesting little touch. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, just a little question tonight. Is that what your day-to-day Christian walk looks like? Do you walk in peace, in rest, in a general lack of anxiety in your Christian life? Is that what your day-to-day, hour-to-hour Christian life looks like? Is it possible to attain some level of a life down here on earth that is not overwhelmed by anxiety? Like I said last week, you know, you need a little anxiety to get out of bed in the morning, okay? A little bit of need, right, causes us to get moving. And so all anxiety is not sin. And tonight we want to take a couple of minutes. We got two goals here tonight, okay? Because we've done the story last week. Tonight I want to touch on 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, a familiar verse. We're going to do a little mini devotional exposition for maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then we're going to take 10 to 15 minutes and we are just going to be super practical on how we can deal with the issue of anxiety in our lives, okay? So 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Now, this is the Amplified version that's up here, and actually the King James is inside the Amplified version, and you know why they call it the Amplified version? Because they amplify the verse. That's not very deep, is it? But that's what they do, and it is an excellent translation, and it's almost like a little mini commentary, actually. So 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Now, the last thing we want to do this evening is make it just sound like dealing with anxiety is something that is just so simplistic. You should just be able to just draw up a little list and say a few words to the Lord in the morning and you're going to be all better by 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That is not that. And I think the thing that sometimes we don't want to deal with in our Christian walk is that the issues we deal with require work, okay? And when we're dealing with the issue of anxiety, and it's going to be different for many different people, it requires effort on our part to deal with anxiety in our Christian lives, okay? It is going to take work. It is going to take faith and work. Now, let us note, there are extreme levels of anxiety that are going to require the care of a doctor or a counselor, maybe some medications even. And you know what? That's totally fine. The Lord has provided these means today to help us in extreme versions of anxiety to get this kind of help. Sometimes it's our genetics, our family background has just drilled it into us, or just simply the effects of the curse on our lives, right? Like, we live under the effects of the curse here every day, right? And we see it all around us in sickness and illness of many types. You know, there's panic attacks, increased heart rate, sweating, chills, nausea, shaking. There's phobias. I know my own mom, like, she had claustrophobia, I think. You know, she wouldn't go in an elevator. If she did, she was just absolutely petrified. Well, to her, maybe to me that's not real, and to you that's not real, but to her it's real, right? And there's real stuff to you that's not real to me, but it's still real, genuine anxiety. There's social anxiety disorders. There's PTSD, obsessive compulsive, seasonal affective disorder. I used to have a lot of that. That one's no fun at all. So there is lots of different anxiety, and some of these disorders aren't even, anxiety is just bundled up in the mix, okay? It just gets all messed up inside of it. So let's take a couple of minutes here, and we're going to deal with 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 first. First of all, we have this young man here with a baseball. Look at that young guy there with the baseball, and he's going to throw that baseball to the plate. Well, the first thing this verse says is that you have to cast. Okay? Now, in the Greek, that word is very simple. Okay? That word simply means that you have to throw. Okay? You have to throw your anxieties on the Lord. So, Sunday's a big day for football, right? So we have our football with us tonight. Okay? And we could say this is like, you know, this is kind of like, this is your anxieties. These are my anxieties wrapped up in this little football here, okay? So the football game requires the quarterback, what does he have to do? He has to move his team down the field by taking the ball and throwing it or handing it to the running back. But he's got to either hand it to the running back, right? Or he's got to throw the ball in order to move the team down the field. Now, if that quarterback says, well, I just don't think I can trust anybody to throw the ball to. I'm the best guy to hold on to the ball. So what happens to that poor sucker, that poor running back? Well, he ends up with like two defensive linemen that are weighing 310 pounds each, right, on top of him, right? They call it a sack, right? It's kind of painful, isn't it? Or he may try to run the ball a couple yards and he gets absolutely squashed with the same two or three guys and they land on top of him and he gets up and he's like, oh, this is not good, right? This is not working. And isn't that what happens with us folks when we hold on to the football of our anxieties? Isn't that what happens? We get anxiety weighs a person down. It crushes us, doesn't it? It's like that verse we read last week in Hebrews 12 where it says, lay aside every weight, right? And so you have the football of the, and you're holding on to it and you are getting pummeled. And you're just like, I can't let it go because I can fix it. But what you have to do is, so you got to take the football, right? And you got to let it go and you got to throw it. You can keep it, right? But what happens is what do you have to do? You have to trust somebody, in this specific case, the Lord, but you got to trust them, and you have to take those cares, and until you let them go, you're just going to get pounded. That's just how it is. You've got to let them go. You've got to throw those cares. That word casting is throw those cares on the Lord. So, we throw our cares and we toss the matters of life into the hands of the Lord. You know, there's another little thought I got thinking, and I don't have time to develop it tonight, but there's a verse in Galatians 6, and you know what it says? That we're to have others carry our burdens too, right? So the Lord provides a thing called the body of Christ, doesn't he? And relationships and friendships and people we can trust that we can take our burdens to and pass them to and say, I need some help, brother. I need some help, sister. I need you to help carry some of these burdens that I can't handle. That's God providing that. So we need to learn to release those burdens. Secondly, in this verse, we're going to do all of those cares, right? So Saturday morning, I wake up. Now, I mean, it's a busy summer, and we're just, this normally the month of November and December is like recoup month for the Houstons. We're just trying to get our lives back together. And this, so there's a, one car down in Rustico, and then I got Dad's car, and that's got to come, that's got to be switched over to me because they wouldn't give him insurance, and Mom wants to keep the car. So I, so, but of course, there's a hole in the there's a hole in the side of the car, and you're waiting for somebody to fix that. So that's fine. So that car's down. Then my other car's got the rotors are scraping. Still going, though, anyway. And then Noah's car is up on some rack out in the countryside. He's getting some work done in his car. So we got one really good car, and I'm trusting that car. Saturday morning, I get into that car. And I'm all loaded up with my blue bags, and I'm heading down to get rid of my blue bags, right? And all of a sudden, I can just feel. Thump, 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 thump. And I'm thinking, like, something wrong with my only car left I got, right? And Noah gets out, and he's like, Dad, the tire's flat. Well, you know, right at that moment, I was not thinking about casting my cares upon the Lord, okay? There was other things going through my mind that was not quite exactly that. So anyway, I said, okay, we gotta get this car to Canadian Tire, and at least the tire took some air, and we off to Canadian Tire. And I'm still kind of in a mood, right, at this point. And anyway, it's just like, and the Lord's just reminding me, Dwight, it's all your cares. You're supposed to, like, all your cares. The small minor ones, like a flat tire, it's really pretty minor when it comes to most things, right? It's pretty small. And so we get there, and I was still kind of grumpy, and I told the guy, I said, I bought these tires here, and they're under warranty, and I want it fixed today, right? I don't want to have to keep pumping air into this thing all weekend. Well, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I just said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to get that guy to get that car in today for me. If you can. If not, we'll have to go to plan B, right? But just let it go, Dwight. Let it go. It's okay. Anyway, an hour and a half later, the phone rang, and the guy's like, your car's ready. Come on and get it. And I'm like, okay. But you know what? It's not always that easy, right? We get out of sorts. And we got to work at trusting the Lord with the totality of all our issues. What's Philippians 4:6 say? Be anxious for nothing but in some things? It doesn't say that. The Word of God says in everything with prayer and supplication. Everything. The little tiny irritations, the big huge problems, and all the ones in between. I love Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, right? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So we need to trust him with the totality. Casting all your cares. Well, here's a little touch. Your cares are tailored to you. Your cares are different than my cares. They're your personal cares that you personally have to take to the Lord, right? Like, when we think of the word your, I think of the word tailored, right? You go in, you get a shirt that's tailor-fit to your body because you're different than the next guy. If you want something that's going to fit just right, then you go in and they measure you up and they give you that. Well, your cares are tailored to your needs, right? And guess what? We have a Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ who knows exactly what your cares are here tonight. He knows them. He is aware of them. And he wants you to come to him. Then we have your cares. Well, these are of many. These are your troubles, aren't they? Could be a simple thing as that flat tire that morning and not having another car to turn to and saying, I got to deal with this, right? It can be health. Heather decides to run across the road to get the mail 2 months ago, and all of a sudden she gets back to the other side. She can hardly move because she tore something in her leg. Just like that, right? Life just changes just like that. One appointment to a doctor's office and the diagnosis, and your day and the rest of your days are changed, right? So we have the troubles of health. We have the troubles of finance. Oh, anybody have the troubles of relationships in their family, their friends? Ongoing drama during the week a little bit occasionally? Mm-hmm. Do you talk to the Lord about those? Your job? Maybe you're just totally unhappy, frustrated. What about your singleness? Well, what about your marriedness? What about your kids? There's a lot of stuff, right? There's a lot of troubles. So casting all your cares, tossing the totality of your tailored troubles on. So we're gonna place them on him. Without faith, right? We have to believe that he can handle this stuff for us, don't we? Right? You know, isn't it amazing? We trust him for salvation, our eternal destiny, reconciliation with God. Don't you think the rest of the stuff is pretty small? The rest of the stuff's pretty small, isn't it? If we can trust him for our eternal destination, then we can trust him for our daily issues, can't we? So without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We have to grasp the promises of God. And we trust him, the triune God. The God lives in you now. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you. The life of Christ he desires to live through you. And we have a Heavenly Father who knows our every need, right? Before we even can even speak the words, there's nothing shocks him. You know, that sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to tell my friend. They'll be so shocked. They'll be so shocked that I'm struggling with this. Or they'll be so, well, your Father in heaven, he is not shocked by anything that you bring to him. So that's our little outline here for tonight. Oh, I don't want to go there just yet. And you know, the wonderful thing is he can do this because he cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for you. Right? The hymn writer said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. So now, we just want to spend these last few minutes just being really practical. You know what? We can talk theory all we want for as long as we want. But we also got to be able to put some stuff in the rubber meets the road. And this is stuff I wish people would have told me when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s. And I eventually learned some of this stuff. But we're going to look at four things in particular. There's probably a dozen more, but just four things that I have found really helpful in my walk with the Lord. When I was in my 20s and I was doing a lot of ministry work in Hunter River, I was just really struggling with health issues. Like, I was just really struggling with eczema and not sleeping, and the yo-yo of not sleeping and not knowing what was happening to me caused a lot. Well, after a while, when you don't sleep for a year or two, you get uptight, no matter how young you are, and you just start to feel like you're going to unravel a little bit. And finally, a doctor looked at me one day, and he said, you know, Dwight, he said, you just need to start exercising. He said, that will help break some of this tension you're feeling. And I thought, okay. So anyway, first verse I want to look at tonight, because, you know, a lot of times we want to use that verse, you know, that, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, that has a context to it, and we're not going to get into that tonight. But we have this verse right here. And this verse right here says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You want to break some anxiety in your life, and you have some sort of reasonable health that you're not, you know, that you can do some exercise and stuff, then, you know what? Go on Google and put in exercise and anxiety. And the page will just load up with a list of secular support, okay? All right? So if we want to deal with anxiety, one area that really, really has transformed my life is exercise. Regular 4 to 7 days a week of regular 30 minutes or more of walking, running, whatever type of exercise that you can get. Get a friend and get started. Now, this is a little article here from Harvard, okay? All right, and Harvard's not a bad spot. They should know a little bit about health. They've been around for 300 years or so. And this is from an associate clinical professor of psychiatry and an internationally recognized expert in neuropsychiatry. So anyway, you must know something. So anyway, it says here, if you engage in exercise, diverts you from the very thing you're anxious about. Isn't that interesting? You get out and exercise and you got to focus on the exercise. It diverts you away from that anxiety. Moving your body decreases muscle tension and lowers the body's contribution to feeling anxious. Really, it's the cost of one counseling session, you know, a pair of sneakers. Not that expensive. Getting your heart rate up changes your brain chemistry, increases the availability of important anti-anxiety neurochemicals. Whew. Includes serotonin, GABA, BDNF, etc. on that other word. Exercise activates the frontal regions of the brain responsible for executive function, which helps control the amygdala, our reacting system to real or imagined threats to our survival. Boy, this exercise thing is pretty powerful, isn't it? Don't discourage your spouse if he's exercising too much or she is. Don't discourage them, okay? And this is a really good one I have found, because my spiritual life, the effectiveness of my service for God is very tight. Now, this is me personally. I don't know your guys' systems. But the level that I can serve the Lord is dictated by how disciplined I am in my exercise regime. It took me a while to figure that out. It says here, exercising regularly builds up resources that bolster resilience against stormy emotions. Exercise levels a person out and equips them for high-stress situations and enables you to recover incredibly quickly after you've poured yourself out for a long time. And I would be going really hard and doing all kinds of stuff, and I'd just be crashing. And sometimes I'd preach 2 or 3 times on a weekend, and I'd be out of it for 3 to 4 days. I could barely move. I was so exhausted emotionally. And when I started to exercise, that all started to change. And now 57, I feel 10 times better than I did at 25. And my ability to deal with stress at 57 is way higher than it was when I was in my 20s, okay? And a little maturity helps too, right? But for me, exercise has been absolutely huge. So I'm not going to harp on it. You need to exercise, right, Travis? Amen? Thank you. The next thing we need to do is laughter. Laughter is an amazing, that's another one. You Google laughter and put down laughter and anxiety and all kinds of stuff comes up. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. It's interesting. Now, you remember that story in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah? They had a baby boy, didn't they? What did they end up calling him? Isaac. What did they call him that for? Well, he made me laugh, right? His name means laughter. Well, if you look at the story, it's a story of a lady who's 90 and her husband's 100, and God had promised them an offspring, and it had never happened, and then God sends 3 angels and says, next time at this point in time, you're going to have a baby, and Sarah was laughing. It was kind of a scornful laugh, that first run, I think. Yeah, right. Right. Sure, God, I'm going to have a baby. So then they had the baby. And she said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. I have borne him a son in his old age. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Huh? 90, and you're just getting started. Oh, boy. It's tough enough at 40. So what's interesting is that in the book of Esther, we're all very familiar with the book of Esther, we have the story of Haman and his desire to destroy the Jews, right? And it was pretty close. He pretty well had them on the ropes. He pretty well was ready to just, the day was getting very close. And as we well know, God miraculously intervened. And what did they do? They had a festival. Now, this is a festival I did not really know a whole lot about, and I still don't, called the Feast of Purim. Okay? The Feast of Purim. Well, anyway, this is a day of laughter, a day of incredible joy. Now, I'm going to read a paragraph in my book here, The Anxiety Cure. In the Jewish calendar, the official day for laughter is the Feast of Purim. Everyone dresses up in funny costumes and acts silly. What is fascinating is, although it is a feast of laughter, it is really the story of the impending destruction of the Jewish people. But the threat was turned upside down. Haman was hanged, the Jewish people were rescued, and they set up a two-day festival so that that rescue would never be forgotten. Every year, the Feast of Purim happens, and they dress up silly in their funny costumes and laugh and carry on and dance. The rabbis teach that it's because when you are think you were in danger, and then you find out you have been rescued or you are safe, you respond with an outburst of joy and laughter. Here's what the Jews believe. Laughter is an opportunity for us to see God more clearly. Isn't that interesting? Now, how is that? Well, here is something that I've never heard, and yet to me, when you read it, it makes such sense. If we really believe that God is in control of our lives, then why don't we laugh more at our stress and dangers? You got to digest that. If you really believe that God is in control of your life, then that flat tire on Saturday morning should have just been like, what's the difference? We're going to get this thing fixed. Let's go get this thing fixed and carry on with the day, right? And it's not denying the dangers we have in this life, right? That's not what we're talking about here, denial. That's not. But it is truly believing that God is in control and he can turn things around, right? And we can trust him for that. It says here, anxiety and laughter cannot coexist in the same body. Now, here's some benefits of laughter. Are you ready? Okay. All right. I'm going to read them quick. All right. So we're just going to go boom, boom, boom. Here's the benefits. Why should you laugh more? Humor and laughter increase your happy messengers, strengthen your immune system, exercises your cardiovascular, lowers your adrenaline, increases your joy, makes people like you more. That's a good one. Replenish your creative juices, helps you think more clearly, makes you wiser, rebalances the chemistry of your body, lowers your blood pressure, reduces your risk for heart attack, releases your emotional pain, and draws you closer to God. And all of that for free. Laughter is a gift from God, right? Now, we're going to take a second here. And this was, there used to be a comedian. Her name was Loretta LaRoche, okay? And she used to do some really funny stuff on TV. Well, anyway, we're just going to try one of her little things that she recommended, okay? Because, you know, part of our problem is we have a really crappy attitude sometimes, right? Like you just have some people just everything is kind of like, you know, the best we can hope for is, well, it's going to be a bad day, but maybe we'll be all right. You know, might be all right. I doubt it. And tomorrow, it's going to be worse. Have you read the news? You seen the weather? Seen the 5-day forecast, Travis? Terrible for carpentry work. I don't think you should go out there with your truck, really. Right? So a positive attitude is something that's got to be worked at. So this Loretta lady, okay, Loretta LaRoche, all right, she said what she recommends is a $2, now I got mine for $1.25, a $2 martyr's kit, okay? A martyr's kit. I've never heard of a martyr's kit before, okay? But it's the woe is me kit, all right? Woe is me. You know some people like that. Maybe you're like that yourself. Woe is me. Tomorrow looks bad. Tonight's not much better. I got to listen to this guy much longer. I don't know what I'm going to do. So you get your Velcro on the back of your hand. Okay? All right? Make sure I get the right one. There we go. Velcro on the back of the hand. Okay. And you put the other Velcro piece right here on your forehead. Okay? All right? Okay. And you go, all right. woe is me. Woe is me because tomorrow I got to go back to work. Woe is me because the weather might be a little bit off. Woe is me because Christmas is coming. Well, anyway, the great part is with the Velcro kit, right? You can hold that pose longer, right? That's the key, is to be able to hold that pose just a little bit longer with the Velcro kit. Well, I lost it right there. But anyway, you get the point, right? $1.25. And what happens is as your stress increases and you put it up there, it's to support that stress. That's the whole point of it, Jesse, right? You've got it. So, you know what? We really need, as believers, to have a positive outlook on things. God is in control. We don't need to be walking around, woe is me, all the time. The third thing is, so we get exercise, we get laughter, now we got rest. You know what? Jesus said to his disciples after a heavy stretch of ministry, he said, guys, come apart into the desert place and rest a while. Now, he didn't say, I think we should take, now look, don't take this wrong. I don't want you to take this wrong because I know you can take, it's easy for me sometimes to say something, you take it wrong. I'm not saying don't go to Disney World, okay? All right, so don't take this wrong. But Jesus didn't say, come into a part for a while and let's go to Disney World. Okay? He didn't say that. And what happens is we equate rest with activity. Okay? And there is a big difference, right? Going away and having some fun and stuff. I get people, I've been 30 years in hospitality, my friends, and I can tell the difference between people that are coming for a rest and people who are coming because they've got a list with 14 things and they are going to blitz every part of PEI because they've never seen it before and they are just going to go home exhausted and they know it. That is not a rest, right? So there is times when we have to park ourselves and just read and walk and reflect and have good Christian friends and not dealing with people's problems and needs and all that kind of stuff. We need to come apart, Jesus said. Because, as I've heard many people say, if you don't come apart to rest, you will come apart. Okay? It's only a matter of time. And then the fourth one that is also really crucial, and again, in the speedy world in which we live in, is Christian meditation. We've kind of shrugged that one under the rug in a lot of ways because we've kind of allowed the Eastern religions to take hold of that word. But meditation is a Christian principle, right? And meditation requires concentration on the person of God, on his word. You know, what was Joshua told? He was going to go in and conquer the land, right? So roll out the military information. Here's how we're going to take them out. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night. Oh, I'm gonna clean out all the enemies, and I'm gonna resettle the land, and I'm gonna conquer it for God by meditating on his word day and night. Okay. But it's how we move forward in our Christian life. The psalmist said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So, you know, the Lord has given us, he's given us gifts, right? But we got to use them. He's given us exercise, laughter, rest, meditation. And all of these things can help us deal with some of the issues. Maybe you need to go see a doctor. I've recently just gone to a counselor for one session just to dump on somebody. You don't need to dump on your wife all the time, right? Or your spouse. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody else. Dump it on them. Pay them to drop your load, right? It's okay. Right? I mean, and so we need to be casting our cares upon the Lord, right? Because he cares for you. That's the key right there, right? Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, we sang tonight. Well, one of the things we need to remember is he cares for you. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus, there's a verse in Isaiah that says that the wicked are like the troubled sea which cannot rest. And there's chronic anxiety, isn't it, for those who don't know Christ? That just, doesn't matter which doctor you go see, doesn't matter which of these things you implement, it's not going to matter any of those things. You need to get right with Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can have peace, is that you must be reconciled to God, because an enemy of God, as dead in your trespasses and sin. There is no peace, my God says, for the wicked, right? There is no peace for the person who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you can walk out of here tonight knowing that peace with God. And then for us, the challenge is to enjoy and know the peace of God in our lives as a daily, regular event. Ah, there's going to be days where I had a couple days this week. You can go talk to Noah, and he's like, Dad, man, you are fired up. And that means I'm cranky probably, right? Dad, like, you're a little touchy this week. You know, it's like, okay, sorry. You know, I mean, because we do have to walk under the curse in this world, right? And we are going to have our times when things aren't perfect. Let's just close with number 427. I'll get Emily to come up here. And we'll just close 427. We got some time. We might as well sing all three verses. And it's just a great verse. We're just going to sit here. We can just, you know, sometimes it's just nice to be quiet, to reflect, and to think about one we're singing. You know, it says here, every day, 427, he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. 427, we'll just stay seated and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. That says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has laid down his life for us, that we might enter into peace with God. And there is only one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder tonight, Lord, that in all the anxieties and pressures and stress that we often succumb to in life, that we can cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. Lord, you know the needs of our heart. Lord, you love us so much that you have made so many things possible for us that we have all things we need for life and godliness. What a promise. And help us, Father, to trust you in this walk in which we have. We just thank you for this place. We thank you, Father, for each one who is here and who is listening as well, and those who can't be with us here tonight. We ask for everything for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.